It wasn't just his support, it was the way he said, yes. I was convinced right from the beginning. 1 Peter chapter 2 is going to be our opening passage for today. One other praise that I forgot to mention was that our El Salvador well drilling team and community presenters, they were able to reschedule their trip, and they leave a week from this morning, very early in the morning, just like they would have a few weeks ago when it was canceled because of the hurricane. So praise the Lord for that as well, that our El Salvador team is going to be on their way next week. So for small group month, we're going to be looking really at the next 3 weeks and kind of the idea of what should the church look like? I mean, when you talk about somebody, especially from outside the church, looking in, what should they see? What is it? And I'm not talking about looking inside the building. I'm talking about looking inside the SIPES small group, inside the youth ministry, inside our El Salvador team, inside the church. What should the world see? Now, of course, during small group month, we're going to talk about specifically how this applies to small groups. But like this morning's topic and the next 2 weeks as well, it applies to the corporate body, to all of us, but then also to any other group that claims the name of Christ, that says this is a group that is dedicated to Jesus. Now, you've probably already understood our emphases for this year. Come and be a part of worship, connect with community, and contribute to the body in some way. Get involved, use your talents, give as you're able, all those different kinds of things. And so this connect piece can be a real challenge sometimes. Love the testimony, because just saying, you know what, this was, you know, something that we weren't real sure about, and yet we came along and we gave it a try, and it really has made a difference. But the truth is that when we come together as a corporate body in these small groups and we do life together, we're more able to encourage one another to live out what Scripture teaches us. And so the next 3 weeks we're going to look at what are some of those things that we can help each other with, that we can be encouragers. And today we're going to actually start, I know some of you are going to love this. My mother would have loved it. We're actually going to read from the King James Version. So you've turned there, and that's great. If you have an NIV, keep it, because that's what we're going to actually study from. But we're going to begin by reading 1 Peter chapter 2 from the King James Version, verses 9 through 12. And if you're able, I'm going to invite you to stand as we read this opening portion of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You can go ahead and have a seat. I like some of that old language. I beseech you. When's the last time you've been beseeched? I like that stuff. That's good stuff. I'm going to tell you real quick about my first experience in a small group at church, because my first experience was a very positive one, and I know not everybody's is. But basically, I was dating a young lady in high school whose parents said she had to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Remember that old schedule? Anybody remember that? Okay, so those were three of our dates every week. If I wanted to see her, I was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And as time went on and I listened to some of the things these people were talking about, guess what? It hit me. I mean, it became a personal thing. And even after we quit dating, I became a part of the youth group at this church. And I began to see people acting completely differently than anything I'd ever experienced before. Didn't grow up going to church. Didn't have many people in my life who even understood what faith was all about. And one particular situation really kind of caught my attention. We had a pair of youth leaders, Danny and Diana were their names. A newly married couple, but loved kids and loved youth, and so they became our youth leaders. And so very first thing we ever did was we had like a youth fellowship over at their house. And I remember going over there and just thinking, this is weird, they're having a bunch of teenagers in their house. I just never experienced anything like that before. And we had so much fun. And I'll never forget, when I got ready to leave that night, Danny looked at me and he said, listen, if you ever need anything, our door is always open. Now, I took it literally. I thought, well, you really ought to lock it at night. You know, I mean, a dangerous part of the world, you know, Ohio and all that kind of stuff. He said, our door is always open. So as I plugged in a little bit more, I began to go to Sunday school with the youth group. I began to do weekend retreats and all those kinds of things. And some really strange things happened. We'd pray for each other. And I'm not just talking about my cat's sick, you know, pray for my cat. That's a fair request, but I'm talking about, you know, we would really get into stuff like, you know, my parents aren't believers and I just don't know how to win them to the Lord. I'm having struggling at school with my language. I mean, we would talk about some deep stuff, and I always felt comfortable there being honest and vulnerable and real. It changed my life. It really did. It brought me to the point where I am today, where I realized the kind of connection that can happen when you make these relationships with other believers. But I'll just never forget Danny saying to me, our door is always open. Call me if you need anything. And he backed it up with the way that he lived his life. But I wouldn't have used the word at the time, but I would have backed up and said, you know what? These are peculiar people. These are peculiar people. Now, you see that word used in the sermon title this morning. We're going to talk about that word for a little bit. Peculiar. It's used no less than 7 times in the Bible. Talking about God's people. Did you know you all are peculiar this morning? Yeah, you are. Just look around, all right? Actually, get a mirror. No, I'm just teasing. But it's an interesting word that actually, if you go outside of the King James Version, if you come up to a more modern translation like the NIV, which we're going to study from this morning, that word's not found at all. And so you begin to question a little bit, and I did a little bit of research as to why that is. Well, when I first heard that word peculiar, I remember back in first grade, because I remember my teacher saying, well, you're a peculiar child. I remember her saying that, and, you know, it had a very clear definition to it. Here's the dictionary definition of the word peculiar, okay? It means odd or strange. This section, we need a bouncer down here in this section, okay? But think about the church. Even if you use that definition, it is still a good definition, isn't it? According to what I just said about my experience with that youth group that came alongside me and helped me grow my faith, that still was odd, wasn't it? That still was strange. And so it would be easy to assign that word really to the next 2 weeks of messages as well, because we're going to consider how the church is meant to be a generous community. Now that's a little peculiar, isn't it? That's next week's message. In 2 weeks, we're going to look at the church as a connected community. I mean, not just a group of people that come together every now and then, you know, we kind of have something, but it's connected. That's peculiar. That's a little strange in our world today. But what we have to understand from Scripture this morning, we're going to walk through it pretty quickly because we're going to pray with our elders as well, is that this word peculiar has a much deeper meaning in Scripture. In fact, it was one of those aha moments for me the last couple of months as we prepare for the series, because when you get back to actually where the word comes from in the King James Version translated out of the Latin, the word peculiar literally means, are you ready? Private property. That was me. Huh. Private property. You see, the word isn't a description of the characteristics of believers. It's actually a designation of whom we belong to whom we belong. That's what it means. We are a peculiar people. Here's the definition. Peculiar means a people especially possessed by God and particularly prized by Him. I think that's beautiful. Because while I read it and thought, yeah, we are kind of a strange bunch, and we are, that's not really the full depth of what it means. The reality is we are particularly prized by Him. Now, what we want to do this morning is, Peter goes on, I just thought we'd stay right in 1 Peter chapter 2 for a few minutes as we delve into this. And he goes on, he says, now if that's true, if you are particularly prized, if you're a prized possession of God, okay, then this is how you ought to live. These are the kinds of things that are in your life. And they will make you particular. They will make you very much seen by the world as odd and strange and all those things. But that's not why. Because we belong to God. So let's look at 3 of them very quickly, all right? 3 kind of directives. This is what you should be doing. Number 1, Peter says, is proclaim God. Okay? If you're going to be peculiar, you proclaim God. Because we belong to God through Christ, this is our first job. Okay? I'll read a couple passages. I won't talk too much about it right now, but the truth is we can't be silent about this relationship. If we belong to God, we're not going to keep that to ourselves. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 9, this time in the New International Version. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now here's the peculiar, and see how it's translated now. God's special what? Possession. God's special possession. That, okay, that's who we are, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have mercy. And you can't be quiet about it. You can't be silent about it. Okay? We had a lot of testimonies through the Blessed series, didn't we? I think I had more comments about the testimonies over the summer than anything else that we did all summer. And that was great. Because we got to hear some of the stories of these people. And you know what? They were doing exactly what we just read. They were proclaiming, this is where I was in life, this is what God did, and it had different themes depending on what the theme was of the Blessed series. But the truth was, they were proclaiming God. And we're not all, everybody here is not going to have the chance to give a tape testimony like that. That's a neat venue for doing that. But I would say that almost every single day, every single one of us has the opportunity to do this with people in our lives. It doesn't have to be an extended 3 or 4 minute testimony, but it can be, wow, God really answered my prayer this week. Wow, God was really at work. Wow, church was awesome yesterday. The Sipes didn't even fall asleep during the sermon. I mean, it can be a natural part of our conversation, but the truth is, we are called to proclaim God. And listen, I know there are classes on evangelism. There are techniques that we can use to learn how to share our faith in a way that will really draw people, you know, to our faith, and all those things are wonderful. I'm not downplaying those at all. But just simply talking about the fact that we belong to God, that we are His prized possession, and how He hears our prayers and works in our lives, you get it, don't you? We are to proclaim God. Now, the Psalms are very popular because they do this very thing constantly. Look at Psalm 135. It's one of the Psalms that has the word peculiar in it in the King James Version. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, you servants of the Lord, you who minister in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Do you agree with that? The Lord is good? Okay, you got to tell somebody. That's all we're saying. You proclaim God. Sing praise to His name, for that is pleasant. Now look at verse 4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob to be His own, Israel to be His treasured possession. There's the word peculiar. In the New Testament, it's the church. God has called us to be peculiar. We are His prized possession. Now, I understand this morning there are some people that are naturally gifted at doing this thing, proclaiming God. And I envy those people because just in general everyday conversation, I've heard some of them who are just so good at weaving in, you know, their relationship with God. Some of us are more shy. Some of you here are more reticent to talk about faith or to bring up these kinds of issues. You know, we need to learn to make it a more part of our natural conversations. You know, if you've just begun to date somebody and you're just so in love with them, maybe they become engaged. Like I know some engaged people who are here this morning. Talk to them about their wedding coming up next fall. You don't keep quiet about that. If you do, there's something wrong, isn't there? Yeah. Oh, and this is so-and-so. I don't really know how I know them, but no. And it's the same way in your relationship with God. It should be a natural part of our conversation to where we're not afraid to declare we are His prized possession. We did it this morning, didn't we? Did you pay attention to some of the words we sang? How about these? Love like this, oh my God, to find. I am overwhelmed. What a joy divine. Love like this sets our hearts on fire. Now, did you just sing it? Or do you mean it? We're supposed to proclaim it. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Is that proclaiming God? Sure it is. I love the last song. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. Now think about it. If it's his breath in our lungs, we're using that breath to speak, right? Shouldn't his name come up in our conversations every now and then? It's his breath. Oh, we're kind of stealing if we don't. That's how I look at it. We're called to proclaim him. We're a peculiar people. We must proclaim God. Now, the second directive can be just as challenging, if not more so. Okay? If we are a peculiar people, then we proclaim God. And number two, we're called to control yourself. Control yourself. I even heard a couple of grunts on that one. Like, oh, gosh, here we go. Yeah. We're called to be peculiar. We're really just breaking down this portion of 1 Peter chapter 2, but you're going to find this throughout Scripture. If you're a believer, we're called to live life differently. We should look different from the way the world looks. And I know that the reality is the statistics don't always back that up. You can look at all kinds of different areas of life. I won't even list them all. It's not always that Christians do look that different, but the reality is we're called to control ourselves and not just slide through life. And actually, through the Holy Spirit, allow God to help us do that. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles. So that's peculiar right there, isn't it? But because we belong to God, we are. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. So I urge you to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Okay, easiest question of the morning. Everybody ready? All right. How many people in the world have sinful desires? Everybody. Oh, good. You guys all got that one. Everybody passed. That's exactly right. Every single person. The thing that makes us different, all right, as believers, peculiar, if you will, is that we look to God to help us overcome those areas in which we fall short. That's really different. I mean, especially in many philosophies of today's world, you know, you're just supposed to roll with it. You know, we don't accept our weaknesses as permanent. We don't step back and say, you know what, sin's always going to be a part of our lives, so what's the big deal? Now, at the same time, we don't become legalistic and hard-nosed and all those kinds of things, but what we do is we say to God, God, you don't want me doing this that I have as a part of my life. You don't want that, you know, in my daily living. So help me. Help me overcome that. Now, I got to tell you, this was really God's desire from the very beginning of his relationship with his people. I'm going to show you the first passage where the word peculiar is used, or at least it's one of the first, in the King James Version. Exodus 19. We're going to read it in the NIV, but this is where you find it for the first time. Exodus 19, verse 4. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Remember how God rescued the Israelites out of Egypt. Look at verse 5. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, you see, there are special people pulled out. You've got to do what I tell you to do. Then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. There's the peculiar. How do they become peculiar? By following God's instructions. He says, although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. All right? Now, can't you hear, even in the passage, why we should be praising God and proclaiming him? Out of all the earth, God has called us to serve him, to be a part of his kingdom, and to walk through life with him. But that means that we also understand we have to live out Scripture in our daily lives. We have to understand why he's given us his word and how we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds through what we read here. We're called to be different and not just simply doing whatever we feel. You're going to hear that in so many places in our culture today. And you know why I think that's true? Because what else does somebody do if they don't have this kind of relationship with God, that resource to help them overcome those sinful areas? It's very frustrating. It's frustrating as a believer. What if you don't know Christ? And you've got these areas where maybe addictions or anger issues, or you can list anything you want. and you have no resource with which to deal with it. Well, then you just kind of give into it. I mean, you don't want to hurt other people, but you know. No, we're called to be different, to live differently. And so we understand what Scripture is. It's a huge challenge today. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2. It says, you are a people, look at what it says, holy to the Lord. Okay? Specifically, to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be His treasured possession, His peculiar people. And then, if you read the rest of that passage, it literally lists a bunch of instructions for how they should live in the situation in which they were as God's people. That's what it is. You're a peculiar people, so this is how you live. You control yourselves. You understand what it means to be my child. Now again, my first experience with church was so positive in this area. It really was very positive. One of my big challenges in high school, of all things, when I came to Christ, I mean, he just caused me to see the world in completely different light. That passage about new creation, I was a new creation. But because of that, I had a lot of anxiety about the future. I really did, because I knew how I grew up, and I knew how my life was now, and I was so excited, and yet, here came the enemy, right? What if I don't pick the right college? What if I don't pick the right spouse? I mean, what if I don't do all the exact right things? Then I'm gonna mess it all up, and I'm going to end up back there again. Doesn't sound like a big deal when somebody might be suicidal or addicted to alcohol or something. It was a big deal to me. It was hard. And I remember one Sunday school class we were having, the teacher started teaching, and we got talking about, we were praying, doing our prayer requests and everything, and he said, you know, you need to learn this passage. And it was something about how present your requests to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Anybody ever hear that passage? He just didn't quote it to me and throw it out to me. He said, you need to memorize this, and next week I'm going to ask how your week went. And then the week after that, I'm going to call you. And then the week after that, I'm going to fly a plane over your house with the banner behind it that has that verse. No, I mean, he held me accountable to this. My Sunday school teacher did. And I found that as I was really pressed to not just give into that anxiety and just say, well, everybody's anxious, but do you really trust Christ to overcome that? It was such a positive experience for me. He held me accountable. So you proclaim God, you control yourself, you allow God to change those areas. And here's the third directive right from the passage today. And it's just two words. It's simply this: do good. You do good. You proclaim God. You control yourself. And you do good. I got to tell you, the bottom line for Peter is that if we are a particular people of God, all right, if we are His prized possession, then guess what our job is in life? We become God's hands and feet. I know that's not shocking to most of you in here, but we forget it sometimes. The reality is, as we proclaim Him, as we learn to live for Him, then we actually turn around and we impact our world in every good way that we possibly can think of. It's an awesome calling. And again, it's tied in with this idea of peculiar. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, this time verse 12 in the NIV. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Now, I just want to clarify something this morning, okay? If you ever were tempted to believe that once you've taken on the role of a Christian, once you've given Christ control of your life, then at that point, people will applaud you and encourage you, okay? If you've ever been tempted to think that kind of thing, then you need to understand that the world, really, there are three things that might happen with people who don't understand what you're doing by giving your life to Christ. Number one, people will not understand you. They'll step back, and if they have no kind of spiritual foundation or no kind of experience with somebody who has taken that step of faith, they're going to look at you like you are peculiar. Okay? They just are. So don't think that, you know, you say, oh, man, you know, really made this step of faith and I'm really grown in my faith. Most people are going to look at you like, you know, like the puppy dog that just kind of turns their head. Is what in the world? Number two, they're going to question you. And I'm not talking about, well, explain this to me. It's more like, you know, really putting you on the spot. How does this make a difference in your life? And how about all those Christians that are just a bunch of hypocrites? They're going to question you. And then number three, some may even attack you. Now, I'm talking about, you know, just telling you what a fool you are or what a crazy path you're taking, all those different things. Well, what do? We're reading it today. We proclaim God, we control ourselves, and then third, we do good. We just keep doing what God has called us to do. Even those who will despise us because of our faith, and Peter tells us this, they cannot ignore that truth if it's lived out in our lives. They can't ignore it. Look at Titus chapter 2. I want to read you a couple of verses from here before we pray with our elders this morning. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Okay? It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Okay, so number one, salvation is offered to all people. Proclaim that. Number two, control yourself. Because we say no to all these things. Look at verse 13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, and look at this, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. We're peculiar, aren't we? Okay, that's a powerful passage, but how does it finish? Eager to do what is good. Eager to do what is good. I had an epistle from AD 120. They call it the Epistle of Diognetus. And I'm not going to take the time to read it because we're going to pray with our elders this morning. But it just basically went on to say how Christians were so attacked. You know, the first generations of Christians, many of them were persecuted. Some of them lost their lives because of their faith. They were literally martyred. But even in the public square, Christians were just talked about so badly and just, you know, attacked in so many different ways. And yet this epistle came out by this guy who was not a Christian. And he said, okay, I hear everything you guys are saying, but look at what the Christians are doing. And he went on to list all the different ways in which our world had already been impacted by people who claim the name of Christ. And he basically stepped back and he said, how can you deny that? They're doing good things in Jesus' name. Why are you attacking them? And it was really kind of a turning point in the public square because people had to step back and say, you know, he's right. Why is this such a negative thing? Why is there so much vitriol here? These are good people. Now, does that mean that everybody agrees with your faith all of a sudden? No. Does that mean you're never going to be attacked again? No. But Titus tells us, in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter tells us, you know what? Proclaim God, control yourself, live like a believer, and then just go out there and do good everywhere you can find it. Be a good person. Now, that sounds like faith by works, doesn't it? No, that's not what we're talking about at all. That's not how you earn your salvation. But because you are saved, we should be the first people responding to disasters, shouldn't we? We should be the one that the neighbors know they can come to when they need prayer. We should be the ones that you know, anybody could step back and say, you know what, they're kind of crazy, that whole faith thing. Like they go to church, and they're in this small group, and they eat donuts on Sunday mornings. I mean, there's some weird people there. Man, aren't they good? I mean, don't they do a lot of good stuff? That's literally what we're reading. We should be a peculiar people. Here's the bottom line this morning. I'm going to pray. They're going to pray with our elders. The world is watching us. We forget this sometimes. We really do. I think we just get so busy or we're so wrapped up, and it's easy to do. You know, some families have three boys, and some families have new babies, and they're not sleeping, and some of us are in job transitions and all kinds of things. But the world is watching us. The question this morning is, are we being a peculiar people like God has called us to be? It's not difficult to understand, but we proclaim God, we control ourselves, and we do good everywhere we can. Let's pray together. Father, I know that when I see that first definition of peculiar, I don't think it's all that difficult to carry out, maybe because I'm already a little bit strange or a little bit odd. But Lord, when I back up and understand the deep meaning of that word, that we are your prized possession, that we belong to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and because of that, we are called to live our lives in certain ways. Then, Father, I know that there is more of a challenge before me than I could have possibly understood. But, Lord, as we've studied your word and as we continue, really, from Genesis to Revelation, what we come to find is that we don't have to do this on our own. Because you are our Heavenly Father, we have the resources of our Creator. That you are there to help us to accomplish every single thing that we've talked about this morning. And indeed to change our world through your word and through our witness. So Father, I pray that you would help every single one of us to be ready to speak up about our relationship with you. We are your prized possession. I pray that you'd help us to never give in to those areas where we just allow sin to take control of our lives. Help us to control ourselves. And then, Father, I pray that you would help us in any way that you place before us to do good, to just be those people that stand in the gap in your name. And, Father, as we do these things, we know this world is going to be impacted. We know that many others are going to come to know you as well and be a part of that kingdom known as a peculiar people. Father, we love you this morning and thank you for being our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.